This podcast is from Allegro Non Troppo on Joy Melbourne 94.9 radio station, Melbourne, Australia, and is produced for you by Adam, Peter and Robert. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo on 3JO Wind across Australia on the Community Radio Network, presented by Adam Stobbs.
And Peter Forty.
And welcome to the show today. On today's show, we're going to celebrate the relationships of gay men. As you hear so much in the media and you hear so much stereotyping that being gay is lonely and gay people are lonely. And I want to tell you all now that is absolute bulldust. It's not the case. Looking at the private lives survey from 205 with the Australian Centre in Sex Health and Society at La Trobe University, I just wanted to give you some information that I got from this survey. It said that nearly 40% of homosexual people that they surveyed are living with a partner. Women were more likely than men to be living with a partner. Home ownership was quite common, and just over half reported owning their own homes and half reported renting. Many participants were not in current relationships. More than half, 52% of men, and high percentage of trans female and intersex persons were not in current relationships. However, 60% of women reported a current relationship, 43% of men reported a current relationship, and 5% of men and 8% of women were currently in a relationship with an opposite sex partner. As part of our celebration of gay relationships, in a while we're going to be talking to Dr. Mac Ronan, who has been with his partner for 60 years, here on Allegro Non Troppo. We're doing today on Allegro is we're celebrating relationships of gay men. It's been difficult for gay men to form relationships over the years because of the persecution and discrimination in society. And most gay men have had to be in a situation where if they've had a relationship, they've had to live in secret. But some few have actually been able to celebrate their relationship without that sort of persecution. This is Allegro Non Troppo across Australia in the Community Radio Network, and we're talking to Dr. Mac Ronan and Jeff Allingham. Hello, Mac.
Hello, Adam.
And hello, Jeff.
And thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us on Allegro Non Troppo. And the reason we've got you here is because out of all of the people I've ever known and met in my life, you have got the longest lasting relationship.
Well, is that right?
So 60 years is just amazing. The other things, of course, that's very significant in your lives that I know about is you were the founders of the All Safe Foundation. And I'd just like to acknowledge and give my respects for the things that you've accomplished for the gay and lesbian community. I was saying to Peter, my co-host, that back in 1983, when I was in president of another community organisation, that Mac gave me some brilliant advice that I followed for the last 20-odd years without thinking. It was such good advice. So thank you, Mac, for all of the help that you gave me all those years ago. It meant a lot to me, and I still live by those rules now.
Well, that's great to hear.
So you've been good. Can I ask you a little bit about your relationship? Now, recently, they had a celebration in the Australian Gay and Lesbian Archives, and other organisations came together to celebrate the 60 years that you've been in this relationship. Where did you meet?
Well, before you go on from that, that evening that you spoke about was actually the 30th anniversary of the foundation of the Gay Archives, and happened to be that it coincided with our 60th anniversary. So it wasn't the purpose of the evening, but it was very much appreciated anyway. Well, we met in 1948, and at a performance of the Old Vic, which is a British company, touring dramatic company in Melbourne. It was the first such theatrical presentation after the war that was getting everybody's interest. Mm-hmm. And at an evening performance of Skin of Your Teeth, I can never get that right, by Thornton Wilder, I was sitting upstairs in the dress circle, and a friend of mine, also called Jeff, was sitting down on the rail looking upwards and talking you a guy who looked rather engaging. And the next day at work, we shared the same office at Teachers College. I said, who was the guy with you last night? And he told me it was an old friend of his from primary school. And cutting a long story short, we were introduced, and he'd noticed me and I'd noticed him, and there we go.
Who spoke first? Can you remember all those years ago? What was Jeff, can you remember the first words that Max said to you?
I can think what first, because I knew about around Melbourne more than he did.
Mm-hmm.
He was still there, but I was doing parties and meeting a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I meet them still, a lot of people. And then I showed him going around, way.
Jeff was more or less on the town, but I was a country boy boarding up at Parkville, and I didn't know anything about gay life. Well, there was no such thing as gay life. The word was not even known about then. But I was introduced to her as camp.
Okay.
And Jeff is the one who introduced me to that, because he'd been around about a naughty boy for a few years.
So
I was about 20 when we met.
Okay. In 1948, gay life or the interaction of gay people in those days would be quite different to what it is today. How difficult was it to be gay in 1948?
Well, what's often referred to as difficulties was really an exciting level of life, I think. We didn't ever feel persecuted. I know some did, but we didn't. But there was a certain furtiveness to it.
Okay.
That added a touch of piquancy. And we'd go out to bars, for instance, to meet other people. And you'd keep an eye on to see who was carrying bottles with them, because they were probably going to a party, because all the bars closed at 6 o'clock. And if you happened to be invited to a party, well, that made your evening.
It was always for beer. It was very hard to get a bottle of wine.
No.
Take two bottles with you.
Now,
take a couple of bottles of beer, and that'll be put into a pool. And well, not tipped into a pool.
No, we know what you mean.
Although that had been happening during the war, people would take bottles to a party and tip them all into the bar through a container.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It sounds as though we wouldn't have minded being around in those days, Mac. In the early years, you didn't live together immediately, did you?
No.
No, we were teachers, and we were training to be teachers when we met. We were students. Mm-hmm. And after we'd finished our courses, we went off to the country to teach. And so for the first year or two, we were separated by being in different parts of the state. And we would meet in weekends in the city. But then as years passed, we got to be appointed to schools that were close by. Yay and Seymour, for instance,
okay.
Very close. And then we went overseas together. Took a year's... We had to resign from our post. There was no such thing as leave for travel. So we had to give up our jobs and start again at the bottom when we came back. That was the plan. But anyway, fate intervened, and I was stricken after 3 months overseas with an illness that took me into a sanatorium for a year. And so we were separated again. And then we came to the city after that. Got appointments in city schools, and then I had a car accident which took me out of action for another 6 months.
Oh my goodness.
So it was quite...
And Jeff would have looked after you during these times.
Well, Jeff stuck to me all through that time, and that welded us together, I think.
Mac and Jeff, can I ask you this question? The L word. How long had you been together, or was there a particular time that one person said to the other, I love you?
No.
No?
No.
Well, you can answer that.
I don't want it.
I think there's something that grew during that period I've just been speaking about.
Mm.
And in the end, it came feeling naturally.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. I can't put a date on it anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
There were certain elements of the relationship, all the way from sex to internal feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an evolution that has to take part among two people, so that you end up converging with interests and tastes or ambitions or periods of excitement and so
Mac,
on.
The years that you've been together are longer than most people do when they're married, and you've got almost exactly the same relationship as any heterosexual couple who've been together for 60 years. You have the same hopes and dreams. The companionship that you've shared over these years must be absolutely amazing.
Well, we value that, and we're very grateful for the way it's ended up. We don't have grandchildren, and we don't have the same sorts of family life that other people have. But it's interesting that when the Museum of Victoria was mounting an exhibition called The Melbourne Story, I think it is, Melbourne Story, yes, at the moment, they were having a section on family life in the 1950s and 60s, and so they nominated three or four different kinds of families, and then somebody must have said, now what about a gay family? And so we were nosed out and asked to become a family for the purpose of their exhibition, The Melbourne Story, that's what it's called, is still on.
Oh, nice.
And so there we are, on record and on tape, on video. You press the blue button, and there we are being interviewed. And as just a family. And that's an indication of how attitudes have changed to gay relationships.
They certainly have.
Because we've thought of ourselves always as a family. But we have now discovered that it's becoming a much more widespread concept.
Can you tell us the last 60 years you've been together? Has it all been smooth sailing? Was there any times when it was really difficult for you?
Sometimes about you're not well or things like that, or buying which a car was changed a bit. We moved about six houses, I suppose, in Melbourne.
Goodness gracious.
And move all those. And a lot of people also were gay people. We're still the same people we had them all those years. Then we went to school and we still saw them. And different for us anyway. But we never had. Everything went all right at all, I suppose.
Okay. Well, that's good news. There's hope for us all that we can have such a good relationship like you and Mac do. I just wanted to briefly acknowledge one thing. I've known both of you for 25 years, and over that 25 years, a lot of really good people have died from HIV.
Yes.
Two people at the Also Foundation that I'd like to remember at this point because they were very good to me and to the organisations they worked with. That's Ian Dunstan and Michael Herbert.
Two wonderful people. Sadly missed.
Sadly missed. They
are often spoken about and remembered.
Yes, and many others as well. But those two in particular, I remember because you introduced me to both of them, and it was nice to have known them. What do you think, Mac and Jeff, the future holds for you now? Now, Mac, you're 82.
Yes.
And Jeff, you're around about the same age.
Just turned 81.
81. So, where do you see the future going for you now?
We live in the same house.
Yeah.
Maybe we won't go overseas very much, maybe. I don't know. And we like the house, the garden, and the cat.
Jesse. Jesse the cat. Famous, very famous Jesse the cat. Okay. Now, there's a lot of people. I've been with my current partner 8 years. Peter's been with his partner for
11 years.
But none of us have been near 60 years. Can you tell us what the secret is to how come you've lasted for 60 years in such a wonderful supporting relationship?
It's
just a touch of good luck, Adam.
Is it?
Well, we've converged in our taste in many respects, and we always have notched in pretty well together, and things like religion, politics, sex, and a few other major elements of life. We've converged and found a happy situation. And we love our home and we love being together. And Jeff loves the garden. And I write a bit with the computer still. And so we just hope it goes on as long as possible. We know life's like a journey. It has a beginning and has an end. And keep our fingers crossed.
You will always be, I'll never, ever, ever forget you for all the things you've taught you've given to me and to the community, yeah. Mac, and the journey hasn't finished yet. You've still got a long way to go.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Well, thank you.
I'd be curious to know, do you ever fight?
I don't think so.
I didn't catch that last question.
Do you fight at all?
No.
Hmm. Early on in our tempestuous green years, there are a couple of exciting moments, but we don't disagree on many things. I'm very fortunate to have found Jeff because he's placid and he doesn't have a short fuse. I'm a little bit more temperamental, perhaps, but I've moderated to fit in with him better. And I hope I keep him happy. Mm. He certainly keeps me happy.
If he's been with you for 60 years, I'm sure you keep him happy.
Well, anyway.
Mac and Jeff, I'd like to say congratulations and thank you so much for sharing your story with us on the Community Radio Network. It's a real inspiration to all of us listening. And we wish you all the best for the future, and we hope that we can keep in touch.
Thank you very much for that.
And thank you very much.
A pleasure. Thank you for talking with us.
All right.
Okay. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo here on Joy 94.9. Peter, that was amazing.
That was very, very inspiring because they were talking about temperaments. Now, I tend to be pretty placid and laid back, whereas my partner is less so. But we never, very rarely, we have differences of opinion, but we never fight. And we use humour a lot, and that really works well for us.
Well, at the end of our interview, we're going to be talking in a moment. We're going to be talking with some other guests. We're going to be talking to Andrew and Donnie. They got married in Canada. And at the end of the show today, we'll have a quick sum up. Are the qualities that we think make a relationship work here on Allegro Non Troppo. Relationship on Allegro Non Troppo today, we're talking about and celebrating the relationships of gay men. This isn't partially, Peter, to break down the stereotype that they say that gay men have lonely lives and that they're promiscuous.
Oh, well, I mean, a lot of parents worry about if their child says that they're gay, that they're going to grow up being lonely. I've heard that so often before.
Is it a stereotypical urban myth that gay men are promiscuous?
Well, it depends what you mean by promiscuous, because promiscuous itself is a judgmental word.
Do they have sex with lots of other men?
The ones I do, but I'm not sure about everybody else.
Me too. I've been in a relationship for 8 years, and this is where I think homosexual men can be slightly more evolved, is the fact that we can still have wonderful, warm relationships, yet we can go out and have sex with other people and it doesn't impact on our relationships. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the reasons why they all hate us so much. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo, and I'd like to introduce Andrew and Donnie. Hello and welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
Now, you've done something quite remarkable, but there's a couple of questions I want to ask before I reveal to the listener what it is that you've done. Do you share the same surname?
We do.
You do? Okay. Why?
Why? We decided to join our two names together and change our surname into one.
Okay. This is, you've done this by legally in Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this will give the listener a clue. It's because you got married.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, you got married, obviously not in Australia. Can you tell us where you got married, Andrew?
We got married in Whistler in Canada.
Mm-hmm. How long ago?
2006.
Okay, Donnie.
Yeah.
Who proposed? I'm assuming Andrew proposed to you.
Oh, I actually can't remember.
So,
no, we decided, actually, we were on a trip to Japan. This is a holiday, annual holiday, instead of off skiing. So we decided, while we're overseas, we'll elope and make a flight over to Canada just to get married. So sort of a two-week holiday in Japan turned out to be a 1 week in Japan and sort of didn't tell anybody and went over to Whistler. It was part of a gay ski week.
Yes.
So we just came in on the end of that sort of holiday and it tied in also with Valentine's Day as well.
So you went to Canada with the express purpose of getting married?
Yes.
Okay. The great big question I'm going to ask you now, why? Why did you get married?
Because we could. And we decided to, I guess, make our... we couldn't get married in Australia, so to beat the system, we went and got married in Canada.
Is it important to you to be married?
I think so. Otherwise, we wouldn't have done it.
Okay, because yeah, I mean that's quite a leap to travel overseas to Canada from Japan to Canada to get married, and that's the express purpose you went to get married. So it must mean a lot to you. But what I'm trying to understand and get out of this is, what does it actually mean to you to be married? See, there's a huge movement in Australia to try and get this happening here, and we need to understand what it means to the people who do it. Not thinking about heterosexual terms, but for gay men to get married. I mean, you said you got married
it was a commitment, extension of our commitment. Like, mm-hmm. we ended up, 6 months after we got together, we ended up buying a house together.
Okay.
So, you know, it was just extension of, like, our commitment, not yeah. just financially. You know, it's sort of a commitment to one another okay. long term.
And the reason why we, like, I think the other thing is, unlike a conventional wedding in Australia where you invite lots of people, we decided to spend all the money on ourselves and go to Canada and stay in a nice hotel and not tell anybody until after it was all done. So mm-hmm. we put all of our money into our marriage as opposed to everyone else coming. Not that everyone was happy about that, but that was our choice.
Could you have not just had a celebration, like one of these commitment ceremonies in Australia and done the same thing with changing the name? Is there some more extra credibility from getting married for you?
A commitment ceremony isn't the real thing. Okay. I mean, we are legally married in Canada.
Okay. When you came back to Australia, did you declare any of this at customs or anything? Immigration?
It doesn't make any difference, no.
Okay.
No.
Tell us a little bit about the process of getting married in Canada and what you did.
Well, it was mostly left to me to do, for some strange reason. Basically, I sort of got on the web, and there was actually a company in Canada, Whistler, I think, called gaymarriages.com. Mm-hmm. I emailed them, but got nothing out of them, so I arranged everything myself. We actually got married on a glacier, so I organised a hire of a helicopter.
Oh, my goodness.
A celebrant and a photographer. We needed to have two witnesses. So we used the helicopter pilot and the photographer as our witnesses. And
now, that is quite unusual. Going over to Canada and getting married on the top of a glacier. I don't think I've heard of anybody doing that.
And it Rainbow was called Glacier.
Rainbow Glacier.
Was that what it was called?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Bit camp. Oh.
Okay, so they took you up to the top of the glacier, and the vows and the things that you exchanged, what was the context of that? Was it the same as a traditional?
Yes, it's standard. The celebrant went through the standard sort of, do you take this person, sort of the standard sort of normal, I know, everyday vows that you sign. We've still got them. And they said, you know, put on a nice piece of paper, and they said, come back, and you know, you can renew it whenever you'd like. And it was a lovely day. You know, so it was minus 15, I think it was, that day, nice and sunny. And, you know, we're only supposed to have about 10 minutes on the glacier, but the pilot, like, sort of, we ended up being about half an hour out there, and so it was a lovely day.
How long have you been together?
6 years.
And how long had you been together when you got married?
4 years.
4 years. Okay, so you spent 4 years, and then after those 4 years you decided that you wanted to get married. Can you tell us a little bit about how you met?
The standard. We met at the market.
Okay, the market is a nightclub here in Melbourne. Yeah.
So it was just the usual on the dance floor.
Okay, so it was some enchanted evening. You will see a stranger across a crowded room, and your eyes met across the dance floor. Is it that sort of thing?
That'll do. Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the first words that you said to each other?
I was speechless.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Can't remember?
No, I was literally speechless.
Okay.
Was it a fun
me.
Night?
No,
was,
me.
Yeah, we've had was a group. I was out with a group of friends, and then it just it's just the usual, the standard. You go out, you meet people, and it just evolved from there. I think one of the first things. Oh, I think that night he said to me, "Am I going to see you again?" I was like, "Oh, don't say that to somebody on their first you meet them the first time.
Well, how else do you meet them again if you don't?
Lucky I said it.
And obviously you did. So how long did you start seeing each other before you sort of realised that there was something a bit more tangible to this relationship? How long did it take to remember?
I don't think it was very long at all, actually.
No, we exchanged numbers that night and we ended up... Yeah, we went out the next week. And then sort of everything just snowballed from there, where you just go, oh, I'll see you. Yeah, can catch up for dinner tomorrow night. Yeah, sure, okay, do that again. Yeah, sort of ended up sort of living with one another straight away and things.
How long before you started living together after you met?
It was merely a matter of weeks, really. I had to go to hospital. I had a knee infection.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on crutches for a couple of weeks afterwards, and Donnie basically moved in to look after me and never left.
And then 6 months later, we bought a place. No, just like
I've been with my partner for 8 years, and he moved in, I think, about 4 days after I met him. And my partner before that, we were together for a year before he moved in. But I didn't know at the time, but he was married. But yes, it's quite interesting how long you know each other. Peter, in your relationship, how long did you know your partner before you moved in together?
It would have been... Well, we met in the April and he moved in November that year.
Okay. In your relationship, so it's two married men married to each other, do you tell other people, or people that you work with or that you associate with, who heterosexual people, do they believe you?
Yeah. Most people ask that I've told have asked what we did and how we did it and everything else. I think people are interested to know. I think a lot of people now are pretty open to gay relationships, and a lot of people have asked me, why didn't we get married here? I mean, some people don't even know that we can't get married here, and they don't agree necessarily with the laws.
So you got married. Do you feel any different after getting married?
Oh, yes, there's certain advantages, and, like, you get a few chuckles. Like, I remember coming back the following year after... We went back to Whistler again the year after we got married, and it was quite... it was an amusing story where we actually... were flying back from... back to Australia via America, and where you have to go through customs and enter America through the Canada as you leave, and there was a family queue, and when we went up, and then we went up together as a family, and the officer said, oh, you can't, it's just only families only, and then when we presented our passports with the same surname, he just went, oh, okay.
This is quite unusual, actually, taking on the same surname. As when people get married, when heterosexual people get married, they take on this one surname. But when gay people get married, I didn't think that they did. So you actually change your name so that you could have the same surname. It's very interesting. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo here on the Community Radio Network. We're celebrating and talking about gay relationships today. We're talking to Andrew and Donnie and talking about their marriage. They went to Canada in 2006 to be legally married. And we're talking about what it was like for them and how... the reactions from people around them. We found out why they got married. So when you got married and you came back to Australia, how did you inform your families, or did they know before you went?
No, nobody knew.
Okay. That's right, you said you eloped.
We didn't tell them till the day, and basically when we got home after a very long flight via LA for about 4 to 6 hours.
We went through Tokyo and then we stopped in Sydney for lunch.
Oh, that's right. Stopped at Sydney for lunch, and then we came back to a party at our house after the whole way home.
All right, so there was a party waiting for you when you got home?
Yep.
Organised by your friends or family?
No, I organised all that.
Okay.
Pre-ordered everything.
All right.
And nobody was told, obviously, until the day we got married.
Okay. So how were they? How have your family reacted to this getting married business?
I think that they were a bit annoyed they weren't invited and they couldn't go. But they were, you know, overwhelmed by it all.
What about you, Donnie?
Friends were... Like, we sent out emails out with pictures. And people, our friends, were very elated and surprised, and they're saying, "I thought you were in Japan." I said, "No, we're in Canada." And sort of, "No, it was great." Yeah, there was only regret that, you know, we didn't have, like, you know, a few close friends there.
Okay, and, so yeah.
What about your family, though, darling?
Oh, my mum and dad, they were very... Mum probably was disappointed not being there, but they were very happy about it. Mm. They came back, you know, and sort of gave us a wedding present.
Oh, that's nice. That's lovely.
It was very nice.
Okay. What did you wear when you were getting married? This will be the interesting thing. Everybody expects that you'll be dressed up as bridegrooms or bride and groom or whatever. What did you actually wear?
We actually did. We wore white shirts and black pants. We had, obviously, coats on when we got there, but when we had the ceremony, we took them off and just wore shirts in the minus 15 degrees. So it was cold. Actually, mentioning, just getting back to, like, when we went overseas, didn't tell anybody, when we went to Japan this year, or last year, our friends wanted to know whether maybe we were going to Vietnam this time to adopt a baby instead of Japan.
Oh, goodness.
Because they didn't believe we were going to Japan again.
Oh, right. Okay. The thing about getting married and doing all of this, it must mean a lot to you both personally to be able to get married. You don't have that choice in Australia. If that choice ever came, would you get remarried in Australia? Or have you already done it?
No, we wouldn't get married in Australia. I guess if it became legal here, then our marriage certificate would then become legal here.
Okay.
But at this stage,
it's only legal. I'd like to redo it here.
Sorry?
I'd like to redo it here.
Okay, there's your answer. We're redoing it here.
Are your lives any different because you're married?
I guess it's like closure to a story. It's completed. The story's completed now. The fairy tale's completed.
When you looked into each other's eyes at that time that you were married and you delivered your vows, you have to really mean it. Now, why do you think Canada, this is just a speculative question, really, why countries like Spain and Canada can have same-sex marriages, yet we can't in Australia? It's just seems to be ridiculous, really.
I think they've got a more progressive, not culture, but an understanding of how people want to live and their commitment to one another.
Mm.
But the whole process, like when we got there, we had to go and purchase a marriage license first. We went to City Hall in Whistler, and we walked in, and we were just treated like anybody else. And the lady's like, "Oh, when's the big day?" And she was all excited, and you know, two guys standing there, and we booked the hotel, and we said we're going to get married, and it's going to be our honeymoon there. And they upgrade us to a better suite in the hotel.
There was no sideways glances or anybody looking mildly surprised that two men were getting married.
Not at all. No.
Really?
No, it's just normal. They just didn't even...
Do you know what that says to me? We've got a long way to go here in Australia still. So if two men went and booked into a hotel and said, "Could we have the honeymoon suite?" You still get that sideways glance. Mind you, it's not as bad as it was 10, 15 years ago. It's getting there, but the process of evolution continues. Would you get married, Peter?
I'd like to, but my partner has once bitten, twice shy.
Because you and I, Peter, both, even though we're Australian citizens, we both have passports from other countries where we could actually probably get civilly unionised, or because we're both British subjects as well, aren't we?
Yeah.
What do they have in Britain? I don't think it's marriage.
Not sure.
It's civil union.
I think they have some kind of registry.
Yeah, civil union registry. I know a few people, British people, who are Australians, but they hold dual citizenship, have actually gone ahead and done that. My partner is dead keen for me to do that. Yeah. He wants to go to the British consulate and get hitched with him like that. I'm not going to do it. I don't like the thought of registering relationships or civil unions. I'd possibly consider it when it became marriage. Anything else to me is just a mere platitude and just sort of, well, here's something that's second best.
It's a stepping stone, but it's still not the real thing.
That's right, yes. And sometimes some things have to change by step, yet other things can change monumentally. I mean, the abolition of slavery and giving women the vote and things like that, that didn't happen by step, that happened all at once. So allowing gay people to get married could happen just as easily. But it's the arguments that they put up against it which don't make a lot of sense.
What's of more concern for me is that we get some kind of resolve of other things, like if one of you dies, you know, like superannuation, that kind of thing, that can be passed over to your partner without having to pay a stamp duty or whatever it is on it.
Yes. I think that's coming. There are changes afoot in federal legislation which are giving homosexual people in long-term or in relationships a lot more equality before the law. So we'll be treated as if we were married, but not in actual terms, but we'll get a lot of the same rights. The fact that we're second-class citizens is slowly being whittled away. Donnie and Andrew, with your marriage, you have a marriage certificate.
That's right, yep.
Yeah, and do you get any sort of feedback? Does anybody say anything? The fact that you've now taken on the same surname, do you get any? Nobody? No.
No.
Completely accepted.
No, I started a new job at 3 months ago during the interview, and they asked me. On my CV, they said, marriage status is married. And he was saying, what's her name? I said, oh, no, it's not a she, it's a he. And it's perfectly okay.
I didn't think... are they allowed to ask you your marriage status?
I don't know.
Most forms do. Mine did as well.
Yeah. And, business is it of them to know whether you're married or not?
I think they want to know if you're stable... Your home life is stable.
Marriage isn't necessarily any indication of that, is it?
It's been quite an interesting story. Thank you, Donnie and Andrew, for sharing the story of your marriage. And good luck.
Thank you.
Are you actually thinking of adopting or getting children in the near future?
No. We can't afford that.
No, the surrogacy
thing. I have Donnie. He's my child.
Oh, that is so sweet. This is Allegro Non Troppo with Adam and Peter. We've just been chatting to Donnie and Andrew about their marriage, and we were speaking before to Mac and Jeff about the fact that they've been together for 60 years. Now, the interesting thing that comes out of all of this, Peter, is do we need to have relationships to validate ourselves as people? That's the big question.
I don't think you necessarily have to have a relationship to validate you as a person. Some people say that they feel... They don't feel complete unless they're with a partner.
That's more of what I meant. Could you live your life as a single person, do you think?
Yeah. I was happily single before I met my partner. I wasn't looking for anybody.
I've been extraordinarily lucky, I think, in my life because I've never really had to go and look for a partner. I've always had one. I've never been single for very long, and when I have, I just seem to roll into the next relationship without much fuss or anything. So... I think I'm lucky, but my current partner now works 6 nights a week, so he's I'm out during the day and he's out at night, so we never see each other. And you know what? It's fabulous. Thank God I can actually get work done and he's not around with the stereo on, the TV on the mobile phone, and everything working all at once. It's a bit of peace and quiet to get stuff done.
I'm in a sort of similar situation to that, but my partner's a nurse and works at night, so... I see him briefly in the morning and for a few hours at night, and he's off to work and I'm off to bed.
Of all of the gay and lesbian people that I know, most of them, at some stage of their lives, seem to be in relationships that last for some length of time. There's not very many I know go through life living in isolation. Some do. Some do so happily and by choice. But I think humans probably are best... in most cases, if they don't exist as single units. Most of us function well when we're in relationships.
I think if you're single, you it's good to have a community of friends around you that you can talk to, and if you've got any problems and that kind of thing, you can get together regularly and stay in touch with other human beings.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than nothing than being a recluse. I imagine that would be quite depressing.
Well, it would be for us because we're used to living in relationships, but for people who live by themselves and don't need relationships, they're quite happily being so. And so it's not really for us to judge what makes people happy or not happy.
Indeed.
It's just recognising that human diversity may embrace relationships or may not. Just from my observation and my limited experience in life, I would say that people in relationships tend to have slightly fuller and more more complete lives.
Of course, relationships aren't necessarily a passport to happiness. I mean, you can be very miserable in a relationship.
Oh, yes.
As you well know.
As we all well know.
We all know, yes.
I think I've had probably 8 long-term relationships, and 2 of them ended extremely badly. I was with one guy who was very violent. That was back when I first came out, not my second partner.
You've had a volatile relationship, I remember.
Yes, I've had a couple of volatile ones.
We used to invite you around for dinner, and the whole dinner consisted of listening to you two arguing with each other.
We never used to argue, actually. It was just the filthy looks and the little barbs. But that was another...
Pardon me, but you were very close to physical contact. At times.
And the passion that we had in that relationship, it was a very passionate relationship, but when the expression came to arguments, then it was also as passionate as well. Thank goodness I don't live my life like that any longer. I don't have arguments with my partner now, but at that particular time in my life, that's the sort of person I was, and it's your fault, Peter Forte.
I'm happy with that.
Okay. We'll be back next week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Allegro Non Troppo. If you'd like more information, feedback, or podcasts, go to allegro.org.au. That's allegro.org.au.